Welcome to Has Been Airsoft. As usual, I'm your host, Megalo. Joining me this week is, to my left...
Hi, it's Demo.
A real intro from Demo. I'm impressed. And to the left of him, buried in
actually,
phone.
in front of, just saying.
Well, no, if we're going around the horn, it would be to the left.
The horn?
The horn.
It's the table.
Yeah, no, but around the horn.
Around the world.
In 80 days.
It's Dave. I'm being fucking difficult, as usual.
Yeah. He's stalling for time.
How am I stalling for time? What am I stalling for?
I don't know.
All right, fair enough.
And to next to him, across from me.
The prodigal son is back. It's Jungle. You know, took a week off, had to recuperate, recharge the batteries, but I'm here now, feels good, ready to cut loose, ready to kickstart this shit wagon. So let's dive right into it.
Yeah, so this week we got kind of an interesting topic, or topics, I should say, kind of dealing with a topic that is definitely near and dear to Mr. Demo's heart. We're going to delve a little bit into...
My heart as well, because I...
Yeah.
I fucked around with it for a little bit.
Nerds.
We're talking about Impressionists this week. And I guess the first thing we want to bring up, because it's sort of the thing that people immediately jump to with Impressions, at least myself, at least Schultz, I know when I talk to him about it, is like, when, as an Impressionist, do you cross the line and stop being an Impressionist and start getting into, like, Stolen Valor territory?
Ooh.
It's a little bit rough.
We're ranking unit patches.
So to you, you can do everything else. You can post pictures of you in it on your social media.
Well, me, I don't...
Without context. Because that's where I start to draw the line, is like, you, like, if you're going to be an Impressionist, you need to provide context, like, for what you're doing.
Well, if you're going that deep into it, because I don't really...
Because there are dudes who, they toe the line, they don't wear rank patches, they don't wear unit patches, but they spam it all over their social media, that if someone's just browsing through, you know, their friends list, and they see a friend of a friend... in, you know, some interesting pictures, some interesting places, you know, especially with some of the AOs that we get, you could end up looking fairly legit without all that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I never really messed with,
So how far did you go with your impressions? Like, were you copying, like, a picture of a specific dude when you did impressions?
Well,
no,
I mean, if there's no reference picture, then you're already hosed, right?
Pretty
well,
much.
Well, I mean, you can do it from an amalgam of reference pictures. Like, you can say, all right, I have 10 pictures of the same era, different dudes. I'm going to pick this from this dude and this from this dude because it works for me.
Essentially, that's how impressions work. You don't really copy a specific picture.
There are plenty of people that do that.
But
as far as like the community goes, like a lot of people do that just to kind of like dip into the impressions and try to make a kit. All right, let's copy this exactly. But most people, what they do is they find like an era, get like a bunch of pictures from that era, you know, take that vest or whatever vest they wear at that time. Say, if it was Marsoc, it would be CPC from Cry, a couple Eagle Carriers, and a few other miscellaneous ones. Pouches, always Eagle Industries, SFL-CLS. And you kind of pick where you put them as long as it's mission-specific to what kit you're trying to make. You don't have to, you know, copy a specific picture. You can just kind of make it your own, but it's got to make sense.
See, I never really got too far into Impressionists. Like, we always kind of joked around. It's like, yeah, let's totally do this, blah, blah, blah. Because,
I mean, for years, we've been saying, oh, totally 90 SEAL.
Well, that's,
know,
that's used as an adjective. No, that's used as an adjective to describe something. Like,
true.
Yo, that was totally 90 SEAL. Like, that's it. That's,
so 90 SEAL.
Yeah, exactly. That's
so 90 SEAL.
Yeah. So, I mean, what was it, a couple years ago? What was it, QLI Day 3 or whatever it was?
Oh, God.
When me, Burner, Scuba, and I think Money Mike, we all went out and we did the Tora Bora kit, which everybody probably knows, everybody, you know, so it was...
Caliban Hill Fighter.
Yeah.
It's easy to do, that's why.
Well, but that's...
And it just looks so good.
It does.
You want to run around, you want to run and you want to have a cape, and I'm going to go burn people. Like, that's great.
Well, I would argue that's the difference between a kit versus an impression, because... For the most part, you're there. Is it, you know, 90-100% accurate? No, and that's where I would say you're more doing a kit compared to an impression, where you're striving to have one-to-one authenticity, because that's what you're looking to do with it, that group or that specific unit. I mean, I've fucked around with it in the past with some SEAL stuff I was trying to do back in the day, because it was flavor of the month. Now
what
I have a new one that I'm looking to put together.
What up, MBSSs?
What?
What up, MBSSs?
there's a new one I'm looking to put together. I'm not looking to plug that right now, so it's whatever.
Am I looking at it on your shirt right now?
Yeah, you can say that.
You're wearing it on your sleeve.
Shout out to Wilson Inc. for hooking me up with that sweet, sweet hoodie and shirt.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm in the same camp as you, where I've done kits, but I've never done impressions.
Right, and I think it's just a mindset, because to truly do an impression, right, there's a certain level of respect that you have for whatever unit you're looking to copy. Having a kit, it's more like, hey, they wear cool shit, I like it, it meets my needs, but like, I'm not one for one looking to rip everything that they do off. Because there's plenty of shit for impressions that make no sense for airsoft, but if you're truly doing an impression, you're going to have it on there because you're like, I know this is what they wear, even if it's not like specific to my needs, I still want to have it.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of the distinction between like a kit and an impression in my mind.
So to you, an impression is when you are carrying things that are used by the dudes you're doing an impression or a kit of that do not directly play into usage in airsoft.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
I mean, especially, like, if you think about it, like, in the SEAL fucking heyday, the bulk cutters. The bulk cutters and the slap charge pouches, like, it was seen in damn near every reference picture because they were just doing straight-up direct action raids. Yeah. But, again, it's not relevant for what we do.
Neither are cat tourniquets, because you're at a controlled environment in an airsoft field. You don't need it. Thanks.
True. Unless unless you're doing a game like Milsim West, where they make...
I'm talking at an indoor field.
The fake cat tourniquet.
I'm saying in an indoor
field. To be
fair,
I would put a tourniquet on my kit. Like I said, I like that authenticity. But then again, it's not for
everyone.
That's
when it goes from being a kit to an impression.
But more importantly, where do you get those really cool armory numbers, and how does that appear on everything? Because that's been like the number one question that I've seen from people.
Yeah.
Is why do you have like, you know, L17 on all of your shit, and where did that come from? I was like, well, in real life, it's an armory number because it's issued to you. And in reality, you just go to Michael's and get a fucking paint pen.
That's what I did.
So that's what it is.
And then you just figure it the fuck out, like what you're going to use. Like, yeah. Mine is super fucking obvious.
L17, that's
yours,
my designation.
Yours is L17. Yeah. Defoe actually kind of gave me a new one, B43, because if anybody does leet speak, that's the closest you can get to bay.
I hate you. I really fucking hate you. Like, god damn it, dude.
Yeah, that's you can thank Defoe for that one. Shout out.
I will go thank Defoe for that one.
But yeah, obviously, impressions aren't for everyone. Like, there's not a lot of people who find it interesting. People, as far as airsofters go, most people just want to go out and play, you know, not even, you know, look at the kit. Oh, here's a vest. This works out. I'm going to put a bunch of pouches on that holds my magazines. Good to go. I'm done.
Most people want to do, like, all, like, the average airsofter that goes to play at Strike Force.
They want to do a GMR impression.
Okay, so what's taking it too far? The way I look at it is, if you're going to, like, one of those things with the reenactments. Do something like that for, like, a reenactment.
That's context. Yeah. Context is what defines an impression going too far or not.
Right.
Okay.
Living history and reenactments, fine. You want to be the bad guys. There's a certain niche for that. That's where that would be appropriate.
Yeah.
Showing up to airsoft in
Showing up to Strike Force on Long Island.
Yeah.
One of the highest Jewish populations in the world.
Yes.
Yeah, you are just kind of a douche canoe.
Like, it's like, what message are you trying to send more than anything else?
Right. Yeah. I mean, he looked like when he was spoken to, it looked like he kind of didn't really understand. He's like, hey, like, this is what I, like, want to play in. Like, I have my MP44 and whatever it is, and
like,
it's like...
That's fine. That's cool. But, like, the emblem and the insignia is a symbol that, like, that has a totally different context.
He had his pins on. It was everything.
There's no way to overwrite that context.
Yeah.
Right.
Pretty much.
Because it's not World War II Day at Strike Force.
Yeah.
No.
To show up to a random open session is just tasteless.
See, like, because that's context that would make sense. If you were, like, show up in your World War II kits, like, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to create, like, a restorming of Stalingrad.
Yeah.
World War II Day at Strike Force. Then, sure.
Don't give them ideas.
Makes sense.
Oh, come on. I would 100% get a replica Car 98 and go to that.
Yeah, true.
I would sit up on the, on the tower.
Children.
Yeah. MG42.
We just
burning everyone down.
Bring this back down to Earth.
I like how we immediately all went to the German side, too.
No, I was going to say, give me a fucking Garand and just an 8 mil Garand and just fucking. US
Army. Polar Star, the MG42. Polar Star.
Sure.
My guy.
Yep.
Remember, the MG42 has more bark than bite.
So no, go out. Honestly, broom handle Mauser and just shoot anyone who's running away.
No. As they're about to get away, but
you have to shoot first with that, with the broom handle Mauser, because Han shot first.
That's true. That's 100% true. Yeah. See, I would go more with, like, I'm gonna go with my buddy. And we're gonna have Mosins, and I'm gonna carry the ammo, the bag of ammo, and he's gonna carry the Mosin.
You get ammo, you get rifle.
When the man with the rifle falls, the man with the ammo picks up the gun. That's how we would do it. Two man team.
Oh, yeah.
For doing a World at War scenario.
Yes.
Okay.
Back bringing to it reality. Back together.
Snap back to reality.
Oh, there goes gravity. I fucking hate you too.
No, you don't. Yeah, so where were we at with this?
So we were getting into the idea of, like, what makes it too far, in my opinion, is context.
Okay.
So, like, you know, as Demo said, like, you shouldn't wear rank patches because you didn't, unless you're military and you fucking earn them, like, you shouldn't wear rank patches.
So that actually got brought up at one of the impression groups that I'm a part of and we're looking to do, because someone put the unit patches on his uniform that he got. And we have legit dudes from the country that we're consulting with in the Facebook group for it. He posted it, and some of them, it was back and forth. The dudes that we were dealing with, they said, look, as long as you don't put this one specific patch, and that's like their, like, unless you fucking earn this, you don't wear it, you know, but just like the symbol for the unit, they're like, it's whatever. In my mind, I don't even want to go down that road. Like, I would never wear a Special Forces tab, a Ranger scroll, like, any U.S., like,
Unit and rank is too far.
Yeah.
Any of the tabs, like Sapper or anything like that. Right.
Anything I didn't earn, which I'm never going to because I didn't enlist, I'm not going to wear.
Yeah, I will never wear a Raider patch. Never. Like, that's just disrespectful.
You're talking about that Oakland Raiders patch from Arstock, right? When they got rebranded Raiders and, like, fell under JSOC and all that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not a Raider tab.
And how the Marines have, like, their little unit patches they put in the center of their play carriers. Marsoc doesn't do that, but, like, say, if it was Force Recon, I believe they still do that.
Yeah, I think so.
I wouldn't do that either.
Okay.
American flags, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, American flags, that's harmless. I mean, you're supporting your country at that point, you know.
Yep.
It's more any unit-specific patches that have been tied to... Like,
the
SEAL ones were brutal with that.
Oh, they were,
like,
terrible.
Red teams and, like, you know.
Red teams, gold teams, everything.
Yeah, all those squadron patches.
And, like, to me, like, I would like to collect those patches, but I wouldn't ever put them on anything.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's a collection I'm going to hang on my wall with the rest of my patches, you know.
I mean, even there was some stuff with, like, that USA Canada patch for a while.
Oh, yeah.
That was big.
Yeah.
That was a big hiccup.
Do you feel that was too far to wear? Like, as an airsofter, as someone... Because as far as I know, in service, that patch got handed out pretty freely on anyone who worked.
Yeah, I mean, it was on that joint task force, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's anything that kind of has a dedicated military backstory, I shy away from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually one patch...
Especially for, like, the OIF, OEF stuff. Because, that was right in our wheelhouse. Like, we all lived through that. Like,
yeah.
I want no part of...
So then, hold on. How do you feel about things that go historical, right? Like, would you be okay with wearing, like Vietnam-era patches for units that aren't around anymore?
It depends on the context.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, would I wear that to a regular open play out at Calverton? No, because that's not appropriate.
But if
they
did,
going
a Vietnam-themed
game? If East Winds ever came back, where that was, like, the Vietnam...
Yep.
Week-long game. I would 100% wear that. That's what you're going there for. It's treading this line between airsoft and a reenactment. So, like, makes sense. Because they want that to
the
team legitimate. Right. Regular open play, whether it's Strike Force, local field, no, because it's not appropriate to me. Like, I think that is a step too far.
Okay.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, for me, I think this one patch I was looking at, I do feel it's kind of walking the line because this was given to Army SF, MARSOC, and the Afghan National Army.
Which one?
Where it's the American flag cut down the center, and then it's the Afghani flag.
Okay.
So it's same as the U.S. Canada.
Any group that did Yeah. You know,
yeah. Drilling operations.
With the ANA, yeah.
So what about something like, just like in, like the International Security Assistance Force patch, like the ESAF patch? Like, is that going too far? I mean, those things are handed out like candy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to do on like a...
Again, like, I guess it's got to be context.
And it's just an instance basis, right? Like, you know, maybe for that one, I don't know. Maybe it's more just like, in my mind, where I kind of draw the line is if it's tying it to a specific accomplishment of a specific unit that I didn't earn, I want no part of it. If it's a big collaboration like the ISAF or some of the, you know, ANA stuff, that's where it's, all right, maybe throw it on there. But again, it's just going to depend. Like, if I'm just rolling out there and I want to be like, look at my cool patch, not really appropriate. If I'm going to a big, like, more hardcore milsim that they encourage that kind of behavior, a la Milsim West and certain specialized units you can sign up for, yeah, 100%. I'm down with it. It just, it's all context, right?
Okay, so what about adding those patches and adding all that stuff for a photo set? If you're specifically going out and saying, hey, let's go use like the Tora Bora thing, you know, the Taliban Hunter and stuff like that, and whatever, I actually don't think they were not wearing patches at all.
They weren't.
They were completely sterile on all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But let's say, let's go and reenact that and whatever unit patch they had for those 12 guys or 15 guys, and you put that on there for pictures. Is that kosher, so, not kosher?
What's your distribution of these pictures? Like, because again, context matters. This is what I was going to bring up. With actually, Schultz brought this up when we were talking about, I was talking about, you know, how we're looking at doing like the frogs for going to a game in the future.
Yeah.
Where he's got a lot of friends through his frat that are Marines. And he's like, you know, I, at the same point, like, would not want to, like, disrespect them by just throwing on a set of frogs and being a herb and having these pictures all over social media. But also, like, I would feel like a dick if I did, like, a full-on impression of something that I haven't been. And, you know.
Okay.
So, like, you know, would you be distributing them just saying, hey, look at me? Or, like, hey, here's my impression of...
It would be probably closer to more than, here's my impression of, these are the reference photos, here's my photos.
So that's acceptable context to me.
Yeah.
So long as you're not like, here's this guy's name tape, hey, don't I look like this dead guy? Like,
yeah, that's definitely way too far. But yeah, in reference for pictures
say,
and stuff like that.
Yeah, because that again falls into that reenactment category.
Right.
Also, you're not running around at a game with that.
No, because I'm going to go and take those pictures and... probably just throw them on the internet, like, hey, I went and this is what I did this weekend. Here are the reference pictures. Here's
because to me, anyone who is running around at a game with all these unit patches on, to me, they're trying to project to everyone else at the game that there's something that they're not.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, that's okay. So that's actually a pretty good bridge into like a different segue of that.
Oh, yeah.
What's taking it too far and jumping into like the Stolen Valor kind of thing? Where you see many, many, many airsofters or whatever going out and doing that. Being like, yeah, well, I was SF. And it's like, dude, you're 19.
Yeah.
Like, even you're 16.
I signed an SF contract, bro, with my recruiter.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So
I'm practically SF.
Right, I'm going to brag, like, in 2 months, dude.
Like, I've seen that
open
on...
open contract, but he said it was SF.
Yeah. seen it on multiple occasions. You get kids that are...
The fine print said needs of the Army.
Yeah. You know, people that are just signing, like, still in high school. It's like, yep, you know, pretty much SF. Here's all the stuff that I'm doing, and I'm walking around
honestly,
saying I'm this, that, and the other.
I've seen it worse from older people.
Okay.
Like, being in the industry that I was in, you have a lot of... I would define them as dropouts of life who float around it.
Okay.
And a lot of them will claim to be like ex-service or they've done things that they clearly have not done. And the only way that I'm able to pick up on it as quick as I am is because of guys that I've met and guys that I've talked to.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people that we know. Where like, it's at this point, like, I can tell within 20 seconds if someone's starting to tell a story whether or not they're legit or not.
Okay, so what about the issue we ran into in 2013 at Sovereign Fury? Their head medic.
Oh, yeah.
Who
so
actually...
That was an interesting story. So, their head medic was former Army, and he was something medical related.
Yes.
Vaguely. So, when he... The backstory behind it was he was deployed to Iraq in Green Zone.
Okay.
Not that really makes a difference. Like, he was still deployed to Iraq.
Yeah.
But he got dishonorably discharged for selling prescription narcotics to other soldiers and to civilians.
Yes.
He came back. He then claimed that he was like the head army doctor in Iraq.
Yeah.
So this got revealed, well before the game. But it got kept like super hush, like it hit like the local news down wherever he lived.
Yeah.
And it didn't go beyond that. And it didn't come out until after the game.
Probably like a week after the game, it flooded. And this guy
was the head medic who was basically in charge of like deciding, are we going to call an ambulance or not?
Yeah.
For a player. Are the conditions too hot for players to be out there?
Nice.
Yeah, that was...
Had basically less experience than I would say probably the average EMT that rides with the volunteer companies around here. In terms of actual, like, from looking, snooping his record, you know, doing the stuff that I do. It was...
Yeah, it was...
Well, I mean, that's happened recently as well with another person that claimed their service record was grossly over and above what it was. Like, he said he was deployed, like, in a Ranger bat and... Like, in no way even went through RASP.
We'll have to discuss that offline, because I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... I'll bring it up offline. But okay. Yeah, it's just kind of a historic thing that happens throughout the Airsoft community, where all of a sudden you're at these national events with someone that has served, and I thank them for signing the dotted line, but at the same time, that does not give you the right to embellish
what you did.
Yeah. So, it's like, what's, why are you taking it so far? You went, you did more than the average American would do and does do. Why do you need to push it so much more?
The same thing that I got into last week when we started talking about why people cheat, why people are dicks at games.
Yeah.
And it's because it's ego building. They want to be more than what they seem to be because they're not happy with what they are.
Be all you can be.
It's so meta.
Anyways.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, I mean, it's, you have your achievements, you've already done more than, I'd say, 85 to 90% of anyone who plays Airsoft, right? Because for the most part, we're all just civilians looking to blow off steam on a weekend.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, to build your own ego up, I don't understand why. And anyone who's actually done it that I've met is some of the most humble dudes.
It's, you know... There's no sense in taking it too far. And then you get the people that are, like, the guys that are, I'm going to say it, like, grossly overweight, that are like, yeah, dude, I was totally SF. And it's like, nah, San Francisco rice, maybe, but that's probably about as far as it's gone.
Are you talking about Grunt's opinion?
No, I'm not, actually.
Oh, really?
All right.
No, just people in general, because you get the guys that are, that's...
They're clearly yeah. Bullshitting.
It's like, oh, I just got out of my 16th deployment, and it's like, dude, you're... No.
Dude, you're fat as fuck.
It's just, come on now. Make things a little bit more believable. Or even, like, I see pictures and videos on whatever airsoft groups or patch groups or whatever, and it's like, hey, this guy... says he's an Army Navy SEAL Delta. And it's like, what?
Oh, what?
Yes. Like, people, they kind of mash what? Things together.
Yeah.
To make it sound more official.
Yeah.
And...
Oh, no.
Stop
it. My favorite is... this was when, you know, I was working my old job.
Yeah.
One of the parts liver guys was, like, bullshitting with us one day. And he was saying, you know, he was Army and he was all these secret squirrel things. And I'm like, oh, cool. What was your MOS? And he's like, I can't tell you that. It was classified. So I'm like, all right, this is total fucking bullshit. So I'm like, now I'm going to fuck with you. I'm like, all right, so we'll play like hot or cold. Like, I'll throw an MOS at you.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it was it, like, tell me if that was what it was. He's like, all right. I'm like, you know, 1-8 X-ray. He's like, nah, cooler than that.
So I'm 11B. Like,
I was like 1-3 Bravo. And he's like, nah, cooler than that. So I threw something random, like 5-5 King, which is like a dentist. And he's like, yeah, it was that. So I'm like, I was like, oh, that's cool. I didn't know SF needed dentists. Just throw
marine ones at him.
Yeah. Like, go with a completely different know, branch.
Like, off the top of my head. Yeah.
O3s are the infantry? Combat. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know any of those off the top of my head.
That was a fun little time. Like, but I mean, like, it happens. Like, you run into it.
Oh, yeah.
And
all the time.
There are certain industries that attract it, and there's certain hobbies that attract it.
Yeah.
Airsoft
is one of those. Being in general, like, shooting is one of those.
Yes.
Yeah. Anything involving guns is one of those.
Pretty much, because even you get the people that are, let's say, NRA instructors. Could you please silence your cell phones? You're ruining the movie. Yeah, a certified NRA instructor. Cool. Awesome. You took a class. You don't need to add on all these other things that make you sound so much more official. Just accept the fact that you took a class to become an instructor. Awesome. Take what you have learned elsewhere and apply it. It's not, you know, it's not going to... And honestly, adding those things that you didn't do hurts your credibility.
Yes.
Not adds to it, because... Honestly, the SF community, it's not huge.
No, it's a tight community. And again, like, if you've talked to one or two dudes who've done some shit,
yeah,
you can tell immediately when you speak to someone who has not.
It's just, like, the need to embellish, especially on the airsoft field, I don't understand what it serves, other than to stroke your own dick.
Well, so while we're on the subject of
stroking your own dick.
God. Because we got to reel this back in a little bit.
Sure.
When you're an impressionist, right, like you or even you to an extent, when do you go from, like, caring about your impression to being an elitist fuckwad?
When someone is legitimately trying to work on an impression and you shit on them needlessly.
Okay.
Because it's one thing if they're just getting into the impression game, they maybe don't have the funds or the background knowledge. And yeah, I understand. It takes a little bit of self-motivation, a little bit of research, and, setting aside money. Impressions are expensive, no matter which way you slice it.
Yes.
But if someone's legitimately working on it and working towards getting a better impression, and you're just shitting on them every step of the way because you're already squared away, you're an asshole and an elitist.
That is the thing. Some of them aren't even squared away, and they would still shit on you.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're just assholes.
Yeah. Like, if they're not squared away, they're not an impressionist. They're just a fuckwad.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, the only time I feel like when it's warranted is when someone says it's complete and it clearly isn't. Well, that's the only time I would say it's warranted.
Yeah, right. Okay. If they're like, or they're cutting corners left and right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's one reference picture of, like, this uniform that's easy to get compared to everything else that they wear. And you're like, oh, no, I got this, so I'm legit. And it's like, dude. It's, like, only in one picture, like...
And not only that, it's like, all right, you know, he was wearing a totally different era of plate carrier.
Right.
Yeah.
It's when you start mixing and mashing, and that's where... I understand to a certain extent, right? The special operations community, too, they wear what they want to a certain extent. But a lot of them, if you look at them, whether it's Rangers, SEALs, MARSOC, SF, it's pretty standardized throughout each unit. Yeah, there's some variances, because one dude wants to rock, like, an LV MBAV, one dude wants to rock a regular MBAV, and one dude's rocking a JPC. Like, I get that there's going to be nuances between team members, but at the same time, if you're like, no, I want to wear this 6094, because that's what I can get, but that's from, like, 2008, compared to the rest of the group that's doing newer stuff, and they're rocking AVSs, it's like... You're just all over the place, you know?
Yeah.
Like, pick a time frame, pick a unit, and go off of that and stick to it. And then when you're done, everyone will be like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because when you're all over the place, it just looks like you're trying too hard and cutting too many corners. So it doesn't really
Because at that point, you have a kit and you're calling it an impression.
Yeah, exactly. That's really what it is.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, so what about running, like, kits from certain eras? Like, if you like a specific era... That you enjoy. Like, me personally, I like the early to, like, mid-2000s.
Okay.
That's where I thought it's a lot of, like...
That's the era that I like. Like...
Yeah.
I've been working on forever the Task Force Black era SAS kit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, stuff like that, or, like... Because the majority of the stuff that I build are, like, early 2000s, like, CAG setups. Where it's, like, mismatched shit that doesn't make sense, because that's really what the... Oh, I'm gonna grab this, I'm gonna grab that, I'm gonna grab that. And 90% of the time, we're in country, you know... mixing with the locals.
Yeah.
So we kind of got to, you know, wear what they wear. So that'll run down to underfolder AKs and just generic plain clothes or that MRE build on the recoil shock.
Yeah.
So,
Cagnus,
you know, Cagnus Everdeen. She's a babe. So what are your thoughts on doing something like that? Using it kind of as a reference?
As long as you're not calling it an impression, I have no problem with
that's
it.
A kit
it's really
impression.
Just... Right, like what you're doing, not that it's not working towards being an impression, but when it's not complete and you say, this is my 2005 Iraqi CAG impression, And it's like, well, you're wrong, because like, you're wearing a chest rig and a rock. It was all DA stuff. So they're going to rock, you know, a plate carrier because they don't want to burst in a door and catch two to the chest. You know, and like, it's just, yeah.
So are you turning into one of those elitists that you were just talking about?
No, because he would be justified, because you'd be passing off your kit as an impression.
Right.
So then you opened up the floodgates for critique.
Right.
Okay.
But if you're like,
if you say,
hey,
this is my kit, I'm working on a full-on impression, I don't have it ready to go, but this is my start, no problem, no harm, no foul, I'll gladly point you in the right direction if you want to do a true impression.
Yeah.
And not everyone has to do that. I'm not saying, like, if you start a kit, it needs to be an impression, because A, that's a shitload of money, time, and research.
Yes.
So I get that most people want to play a little fast and loose and be like, eh, I'm like 75-80% of the way to the look, I'm good.
Yeah, especially CAD kits. Holy shit.
I would honestly say, like,
DCUs.
Yeah, I'd say, like, the Torbora stuff is, like, the easy way if you want to do, like, something.
So actually, how do you feel about easy way out impressions? Like, impressions that are fairly cheap or simple to do?
I feel like it's a good way to get started.
Okay.
I mean, realistically,
because what I was
going to
say is, like, I brought it up before, but I think it's the First Lancers, whatever the Brit impression group is.
Oh, you're talking about the guys out of, like, Vermont, New England?
They sell, like, a British squatty impression in a box. It's pretty much everything you need except for a pair of pants to be, like, you know, British regular infantry.
I have no problem with that. I mean,
you know, it's like $150, and literally you get everything. You get top, like, I think what it doesn't come with for some reason is pants.
Weird.
Which is kind of needed, usually.
But, you know, it's the pants rock, the Bergen, the PLCE kit, their version of Alice.
Okay.
Do you feel it's a lesser tier of impression?
No, if it's legit, it's legit.
Okay.
Like, it's,
if you're like, if you're doing it, you're doing it.
If you can get away with doing a cheap impression, then fucking do it. Like, there's
I'm
no need to light
cheap.
Your money on fire.
I'm saying easy. Like, this is something where you can just say one purchase. Well, we'll call this three purchases, right? Because it's the kit, pants, and a gun.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's easy, it's whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. Like, you don't need to go for the most difficult, hard to find shit.
Do you
just to call it an impression?
Expect someone more if their shit is more difficult or harder to find?
Depends.
Honestly, I'd give a little more respect.
I know you
to
just
people.
Want to cut them into fucking shorts.
Oh, there's that.
Yeah.
But it also, in my book, it also depends, because you get the people that aren't spending their hard-earned money. They're not going out working 80 hours a week to be like, yo, I need to afford this helmet because this is what I like to do. It's, oh, I'm just going to ask somebody and they're just going to give it to me. Like, it's not.
See, to me, that cheapens it.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I feel that's
in any hobby, period. Like, anything handed to you, anything given is cheap. Anything earned is valuable.
Well, and that's honestly, unfortunately, in the Impressionist game, there's a few that are, like, legit, are old enough where it's their own money. But there are plenty of people.
Oh, yeah.
That start out spending mommy daddy money, and they're like, I got everything on the kit list, I'm good. And I'm like, you're 17 and I kind of hate you.
I feel like there's enough of the impressionist community where, you know, they spend enough of their own money. Like, a lot
of it's going to depend on what it is, you know, because, like, again, back when seal kits were popular, like, mommy and daddy aren't buying you fucking AOR1 everything.
Because
when they see the price tag of that.
Did you see Long Island
had you been to Strike Force during that era?
No, because I kind of stopped doing seal kits before.
Oh, man.
It was AOR1 everywhere.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, granted,
AOR1. That's the thing. Is it I'm talking about, like, legit.
So
No. It was the cheap way of doing it. It was people buying the Black Hawk, Desert Digital,
HPFUs.
There were a handful.
It wasn't
of
like
kids,
an official cry.
A handful
AOR.
That had legit AOR1. Either like I don't think I had a legit AOR1 full set, but I know at least one real pair of pants floating around, and at least one or two tops floating around.
Well, see, the problem is, like, at that time, the tops, it was weird. The tops were like 125 still, and then all of a sudden the pants were like 900.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was like, it was that weird flux where, like, oh, I could score a shirt really easily.
The pants were used in more different kits.
Yes.
Because even for, like, the Task Force Black era SAS stuff,
mm-hmm.
there's reference photos of them with the Desert DPM tops and AOR1 pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that was when, you know, everyone was mixing.
Yeah.
You had a lot of joint missions, and you had a lot of guys just tossing kit back and forth.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, going back to you know, people, you know, who either work for or are gifted these things, I feel like there's enough of the impressionist community where they have people who actually spend their hard-earned cash. Like, for me, I spend my hard-earned cash. It takes me a while to make these kits. Yeah. These kits aren't cheap.
No. And that, it also...
Especially if you buy, like, all the legitimate gear, like, the real stuff, like, the Cry ABS set me back a little bit.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Dude,
with
all the shit I've been getting is coming from straight across the sea. Like, legit uniforms, a legit fucking
flight
carrier.
The Russian stuff, too.
Like... It is no joke. Yeah, I could go buy Cry G3s and a Cry JPC, but like that's not
Russian stuff. Is not that expensive?
No, I'm talking about the newer
stuff.
Well,
like, what is it? Gray Shop carries it, or
yeah.
There's a bunch of places you can get it pretty readily, and like if you're buying Flora, if you're buying VSR, if you're buying KLMK, you know, it's all fairly cheap.
Yeah,
the modern Digiflora stuff is a lot harder to get.
Okay.
Well, that's also I don't know. To me, well, like working with that. Going with an impression or a kit based on another country, I feel like, you know, obviously you have the currency being different, so it's like it may work in your favor.
Yeah,
like the one that you're working with,
yeah, so
it
that,
really
that
worked
helps.
In your favor.
Yes,
yeah.
It does. But I know the Russian stuff in general is hard to find, especially modern, because like Milsom West, a lot of them are doing older like VDV loadouts.
Yeah, because it's fairly readily available.
Right.
More importantly than that, it's available in a lot of sizes.
Right. Whereas like the Vant Squad and some of the FSB guys that are running, they're dropping shitloads of money to make their kit accurate for a modern FSB, you know, Russian.
Modern FSB is running.
What?
I don't even know what modern FSB is.
A lot of
multicam running.
Stuff. Actually,
yeah,
they
so they're doing
like
the
NATO kits.
The black stuff because
okay.
that's what sets them apart is doing the Vant Squad.
Yeah.
But in general, compared to like the stuff that you can get on Gray Shop, like,
yeah, like the kits that Schultz has that are
right,
all the
exactly.
older stuff.
Right, not that there's anything
even
wrong
though
with
some
that,
of the older, like the really old stuff is getting crazy expensive now. Like
is it?
the Afghan era, the Afghanka stuff, that was like the cheap shit nobody wanted, and now it goes for crazy money.
Yeah.
Well, that's also, that's like, so I've always, always wanted a set of Norwegian camo. Was the M98, I think it is?
Well, the Swedish stuff is the M83.
M83, or whatever, any which one, but
the,
just...
You're talking about the puzzle piece, the jigsaw shit?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Where it's got like the lime green, the dark green.
Oh, I love
yeah.
it. And it is so expensive. Like, even working with their currency rate and the exchange rate and everything, you're still looking at like almost $200 for a pair of just regular trousers, regular BDU pants.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's, well, like, what's so special about these? Like, they're not the Cry sets, they're not anything like that.
Oh, I know. I
it's,
almost...
It's crazy.
...the trigger on a set of Irish camo just to have, because it's like, I'm me. And
yeah.
I wanted that patiflage, but it's, you know, A, it's hard to find in typical American sizing.
Yeah.
And the price premium
Was this modern era jungle, or was this fat jungle?
No, modern.
Okay.
Like, where I can, like, squeeze into a medium regular, more comfortable in a large regular.
Yeah.
But also, non-US doesn't use that designation, so it's
yeah.
all centimeters or millimeters and converting.
It's usually centimeters.
Yeah,
it's
centimeters.
Usually like a 58 or a...
Right, like the first set of insert country here multicam, in air quotes, that I bought, I thought was going to fit, and in reality it was like two sizes too big. Buying rare camos from overseas countries is always
yeah,
interesting.
I mean, they're also meant for a completely different fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like you were saying, like a lot of the stuff.
Well,
that's...
like a large regular in American is extra large, double extra large in most
yeah.
overseas.
Yeah.
So it's
sort of yeah, no, the M98, that stuff. Oh, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just so hard to find for like a good price. And like I've trolled around
yeah, no,
all
that's,
the groups.
That's
the
not
doing
it for me.
Years,
no,
not blowing
was,
my hair back.
You ain't got no Viking blood, that's why.
I know I don't.
There was a Norwegian dude who was Norwegian, like, reservist on Arnie's years
yeah.
ago, who always posted fucking dope-ass pictures
yeah.
in that shit. He also had the ITL Mini C's night vision.
Ooh.
That's the one where it's the two, like, independent mounts, and they look almost like fucking, like, beetle horns. It's
yeah.
just, it's cool shit. It's super swag.
They're cool looking.
It's just so weird.
It is.
Actually, you know what kits are pretty expensive? KSK. Shit.
Well, the KSK stuff is so expensive.
Me and Schultz were looking at that because, like, both of us would like to do that.
Yeah.
German Special Forces.
Oh, I mean, you can... The uniform-wise, because they just run the standard, like, Flecktarn, Tropentarn, right?
Yeah. They run a lot of multicam now.
Yeah.
Like everyone else.
Yeah.
They still do the Flecktarn, Tropentarn, all that stuff.
You see more Tropen than Flecktarn now, and you see, like, where they used to use Flecktarn, they use multicam. Where they use Tropentarn, they still use it.
You gotta look at the theater.
And I'm not talking about like the pattern specifically. The helmet replicas are expensive. Yeah. Very expensive.
Helmet replicas?
It's replicas.
Shit. Even so,
they have like their own like helmet. It kind of looks like a Mitch 2001 almost, but not exactly.
Okay.
It's like their.
I always thought those were just Mitch 2001s.
Nope, it's its own thing.
No, I guess pretty much every country has its own helmet. I never really thought about that.
Generally, yeah. They're all kind of similar.
Have to be made domestically. That's why.
Oh, yeah, a lot of countries have contracts like that.
Yeah. But, I mean, they're all going to kind of have a similar look. I mean, there's only so many different ways you can shape a helmet.
Like, until you get into crazy shit.
Until you get into crazy shit. Like airframes. Airframes. But, like, a standard infantry helmet is generally around the same...
There's some oddities like the Brit helmet.
Yeah. The Brits, the Israelis, they have...
that's similar shape, even still, to the Brit helmet.
And they've got the really weird, like, chef hat-looking cover on it.
Mushroom
like,
head?
Yeah. It works, and it makes so much sense, but it just looks funny to me.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing with foreign vests. It's either they have to be made domestically, or...
Well, that's
there's a lot of oddities out there when it comes to rigs.
The JPC replica, well, it's not a replica. The JPC that I have isn't made by Cry, but it's like a one-to-one Cry, because it had to be made in a country that they were filling the contract for.
Yeah, I think the Germans have like this plate carrier that kind of closely resembles like one of Eagle's very smaller plate carriers, where it's just a plate in the front. It's not the MBSS.
Oh, is it the KSK one?
Yeah. It's not the MBSS, but it's just a plate bag, buckles on the side as the cummerbund, and same thing in the back.
It was what Eagle made to fill that, like, FAPC contract.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of it.
Okay.
Someone on Reddit posted their KSK loadout, and I was surprised by
it. That's a nice rarity. Like, it's always cool to see the oddball kits.
Yeah. And especially if they're done really, like, nicely.
And I will actually say this. The oddball kits, I tend to find, are less elitist. Like, you tend to see less people spurging out about, like...
Well, because it's not U.S., right? So there's not, like, this one person that has literally sat on whatever forum and analyzed every single reference photo, and he's like, that pouch isn't kosher! You're wrong! You suck! Like, if you're doing a foreign country, it's like, hey, dude, like, you're close enough, like, fucking rock and roll, where did you get that? I don't have it, like, let's nerd out about this random country that we both are like, this is cool!
Yeah, like, when, back in the day when I had, like, my closest SAS kit that I've had, like, everyone was like, oh, is that an SAS impression? I'm like, not really. If you want to call it that, sure.
Actually, a lot of modern SAS stuff is looking a lot like US stuff.
Yeah, it's been that way for a while.
I mean, with, like, their MTPs and their M4s that they don't call M4s, and...
It's an L119A2.
Something like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or Mark 18, you know, whatever.
They've been using like M4A1s, multicam. Like
there is an A3 on the horizon that basically has like a URX3 on it.
Oh.
80s, 90s SAS or bust. Navy blues and gas masks, MP5s, center chest.
That's
the way to do it.
Well, that's SAS CRW.
Yeah.
That's a whole separate slice.
Oh, is there a guy behind that couch? Put a new mag. Let me go check.
Oh, it's so
good. Pop out my anti-gravity knife and give him a slice.
Yeah. Oh, let me flashbang the other side of that couch. I think there's somebody there.
Let me throw this flashbang and go in the room before it goes off.
Always gotta chase the banger, man. Yeah, like,
SAS guys.
Oh, the hostage survived.
Yeah.
So speaking of which, isn't there like a Siege at Prince's Gate movie coming out soon?
I have no. You're our, you know.
Yeah, you're a resident limey fox.
Yeah,
I believe there is.
Really?
Yeah. When we saw, whatever the shit we saw.
I don't remember.
Whatever last movie we saw was there was a trailer for it.
Really?
Yeah. I'm being super psyched.
Huh. I mean, I'm in for it.
Yeah.
Totally in for that. So.
Alright.
No, we're talking like dope SAS kits. Falklands.
What, the right arm of the free world? We need some FALs.
Yeah.
Alright.
Rhodesia or bust.
Well, L1A1s.
short shorts and fouls.
L1A1s and satchel charging runways.
Are we talking Falklands or are we seizing Grenada?
Column A and Column B.
Pretty much.
All right.
Jesus Christ. I gotta ask this. Who do you think is the, like, coming back to our topic, like, who do you think is the worst when it comes to, you know, nitpicking kits?
Seal Fags.
To me, it's Rangers.
Really?
Yeah.
That's hard.
That is a tough one.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it's Seal Fags.
I don't know. I've never really seen, like, too many people, you know, go crazy over seal kits.
I feel seals are the biggest, like, the seal impressionists are the biggest, like, braggarts about what they have.
Clearly, you've never talked to a CAG guy. One of the CAG impressionists? No,
but the thing is, CAG, because it's so hard to get their shit unless you're doing modern stuff where it's all cry everything.
Well, even the modern stuff, they still have, like, a lot of rare things you can't publicly get.
Right. No, I mean, the Crydros, like an actual Crydro.
Yeah, those.
The Crydro?
It's the Cry. It was either 500 or 330D.
330D.
Hydro carrier that Cry never sold publicly. Similar to like an actual Cry LV MBAB for a Raider kit.
Okay.
Like those.
It's a fucking hydro carrier.
It is, but because it's in reference pictures and it was issued to them, so you see it and only them.
Yep.
It's like you're getting it secondhand already.
So are maybe like the closeness there to the legitimacy is what's giving it somewhat of a coolness.
It is.
Yeah.
You know,
and I gotta say, people who get these kits, like, spot on, and they look fucking amazing.
Well, like, Dev Team 6 in their wannabe section, like, there was a really good CAG impressionist, Seraphim.
Yeah.
And he had, like, the airframe, all the Cry Gucci shit, like, the Glock right from when they first adopted it.
Oh, wow.
And, like, his kit
that
was, like...
got some dedication.
The gold standard of, like, if you're gonna do an impression, like, just mirror what he has.
He went hard in the paint. I remember looking at that and be like, yo.
What I was going on with the seal guys is, like, think about back in the day on IG.
Okay.
The problem with seal kits is...
A certain individual...
Okay, hold on. Pause. You just said back in the day on IG.
Yeah.
There's your sentence. Yeah. They will literally shit talk you for shit talking somebody else who's shit talking on your shit talking.
Right. Yeah, IG, true. I know the tagline was it's a magical place, but it's really it's a cancerous place.
Every once in a while it's a great spot for like references and stuff like that, and I know they're trying to bring it back, but
taking it back.
For a while it was just terrible.
Magical place.
Yeah, I'd say now. I want to say Rangers.
Because I guess the thing I always think of is a certain someone who the phrase, do you like to do film, comes up about.
Is that Chadley?
Yeah, that's Chadley.
And his neck.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah. No necks, McGee.
Which, by the way, that video resurfaced.
No.
The one of the Yost Grill Drop It Hard resurfaced. And I'm super happy it did.
Yeah.
It popped up on my timeline.
He had that quote-unquote authentic AOR-1 CPC.
No, actually, back there was before the CPC. That was the NJCP. NJPC.
Yeah.
Is Spec Ops M4 you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, as soon as you mentioned the CPC, I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. Oh my god.
That was an NCPC.
You're talking about the reskinned.
He magically got an AOR-1 prototype NCPC. Yeah.
Wasn't the rumor that like he had that thing tailored?
Yeah,
it was reskinned.
It was actually tailored. Yeah, right.
But
yeah.
It said he bought AOR-1 fabric, took it to a tailor, and had a JPC, and just said, "Make this legit."
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
He had that reskinned.
Someone telling me that story.
And he had the OpsCore ballistic that like was bought. Like someone was like, "That's not even your helmet because it was just posted by this other guy." Like. Yeah.
Like, that's what I think of when I think of a seal impressionist. Like the worst case scenario seal impressionist is my mental picture of a seal impressionist.
It really depends on the time you're talking about, because when, again, that whole, like, typical Zero Dark 30, AOR-1 everything, like, the height of the seal impressionist, it was a pretty fucking cancerous community, but that's because everyone and their mother was trying to be like, look at my seal impression, and it's like, we've seen how many TMC
impression because AOR-1 pants.
I miss my MP7
like
though.
How many, you know, you can't buy TMC everything and say you're doing a legit seal impression. It doesn't work like that.
And everyone goes for like
it's just the flavor of the month. Yeah. And whatever the flavor of the month is, it's going to be the most cancerous people doing it.
So what is the current flavor of the month? Is it the Ranger stuff?
I actually have no idea. I haven't really stepped foot in any of that in a while.
Is it the underground swag that you're going for? Is it something else?
No, we just kind of do our own thing. Like, unless you...
I mean, but do you think, like, that's going to be, like, the next trend? Like, do you think you're being a fucking hipster right now?
Honestly...
Like, I was into Redacted Impression before it was cool. Shit. What? I was totally confused there for a second.
What?
It looks like Shooter.
It does.
Wow.
I was like, was that a Georgia? Nope, yeah, no, it's like, not.
Is that a soft and fluffy? No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it depends on, I guess, the circle you're talking about. Because, like, yeah, at the Milsom West level and Milsom West scene, right now there is a lot of the, let's go to the most fucking obscure unit we can find and make an impression out of them.
Okay.
And that's where, like, Task Force Tea Time has popped up.
Yeah.
The group that I'm doing has popped up. Blue Diamond Group. Task Force Gary Owen. Like, they're just finding these obscure...
What is that last?
Task Force Gary Owen.
Task Force Gary Owen, it's Cav Scouts. they're just finding these obscure military units to create impressions of.
Nice.
I mean, there's some other ones. Like, there's a... There at Rostov Rising, there was a Spanish Special Forces unit.
What?
Yeah. That's kind of cool.
Fucking cool.
Yeah. That's cool.
So, like, it just depends.
So, are we in the era of, like, the hipster impressionist, where, like, everyone wants to do something that's off the radar?
I think so, yeah.
That's
yeah.
cool. I'm all for that.
I mean, on the U.S., like, U.S.-centric scene, I think, I mean, the SEAL stuff's kind of died away from what I can tell.
Yeah.
Now it's more focusing on, like, 75th Ranger Regiment, or you're always going to have, like, the CAG.
Yeah.
I am seeing a lot more Ranger stuff popping up, which is pretty awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why you can't find a Ranger Green Eagle anything for anything.
Anything. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Got that, and then you've got the...
It's really interesting. I would really like to, like, follow and try and speculate on the gear market. Like, what do you hoard up now to sell when it's popular?
So you want to invest in gear futures?
Yeah.
If you have a Ranger Green or RLCS Pinor bag, eBay is like $95 right now.
Yeah.
Dude, those things were going for like $30 like 2 years ago.
If that.
They were. Well, that's because that's when the Ranger hype tailed off and no one wanted RLCS anything and the price bottomed out.
Yeah, I remember seeing like full RLCS deployment bags, like the thing where everything is mollied inside of it, for like $200.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's back, you
like,
know,
that's
popular
like a $2,000.
Yeah. You know, like the SFLCS and MLCS markets kind of bottomed out right now.
Do you think they'll bounce back? Like, is it a good investment as the savvy gear futures investor?
I feel like it.
To buy an SFLCS and an MLCS and just tuck them aside.
I feel like as soon as like something happens in the SF community, because I know that dude who wrote Level Zero Heroes is coming out with another book soon, so that might.
Yeah, well, he has two. He has Level Zero Heroes, which I'm reading now, and then he has Dagger 22, and those were his two books as his time as a MARSOC JTAC. There's some fucking cool shit.
Those are on my reading list now.
Yeah, I'm reading it before Balkar, because he's our...
I never finished the book. I'm going to finish it before this. Yeah.
But you know, actually, I have seen getting more popular Multicam Black. That's picking up, because you get...
Who uses it, though?
Nobody.
Mm. So I
some police units. So.
Was it the Iraqi SF that runs the black?
Well, they just wear black.
Well, yeah,
that's it.
So that's the change that the U.S. is doing. I've seen a bunch of reference pictures of like a bunch of our guys with the multicam black.
A month ago, it was our guys over there wearing multicam black, and the only indication they were U.S. was on the back of their plate carriers.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So they're using that to blend in, and it looks
with the Iraqi National
super sexy. Yeah.
Who's doing it? Army SF?
Or Iraqi National Guard. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
that,
pretty
that
much
kind of
SF
mixes,
that's over there
actually,
right
that,
now.
That, I can believe that, because that mixes in with how Army SF and MARSOC did it with ANA, because they wore M81s.
Yeah.
They had M81s tailored for MARSOC, and then...
Dude. The SF guys where they were wearing the straight-up ANA uniforms with the Iraqi patches.
Yeah.
Fucking dope shit.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff is super awesome. It's just it's cool to sit there and look at and then just kind of just be like, wow, like that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, because the only actually reference pictures I've seen of like somewhat SF units, wear multicam black were like police units.
Okay. Yeah, I was actually going to say, like, are police... That
Ranger Green.
Are police unit impressions, like, a thing? Like, I know back in the day there were a handful of guys that were doing, like, FBI, HRT, and stuff like that.
That's the only, like, true law enforcement.
I've seen a couple SAD teams go out there. I've seen a couple of those.
Well, SAD is...
CIA.
Yeah.
It's Special Activities Division.
But, like, domestic? Not so much.
Like, straight up, like, here's my NYPD impression.
Yeah. I've seen it.
Here's my ESU impression.
I've
That's
seen
actually
it.
A dope Honestly, fucking kid to do.
I've seen it because I've seen kids whose dads are in ESU and stuff like that. They're like, here, you know, this is what I wear. And you get the kids that are growing up.
Overalls with a black vest and a black ops core.
Yeah, like, and the kids that are growing up looking up to their dad, just being like, yo, this is fucking awesome. M4s.
M5 M4s.
Yeah. Oh, okay. The pictures I saw from the dude I knew that was in
actually
was
for
in
most
ages
parts
ago, they were M5s.
Yeah.
And especially walking around the city. Walking around the city the other day, there were 14-5s.
The only time I've ever seen an MP5 is like if you walk through
Penn Station.
It's the only time.
Penn Station's got them. But then you get like the specialized NYPD units, like the Hercules teams. Where you really don't know what they're wearing because it's whatever the fuck is in their trunk and they're going to go do some shit.
True.
So,
I don't know. Like, so, but we got way off topic on this.
Yeah.
We just started to have a little wank about cool impressions.
You know what? Hey.
Which I'm totally fine with.
Yeah. It's great to talk about gear. I mean, that's the hobby within the hobby.
Yeah.
Right.
That is true. It's kind of meta. It's like a meta hobby.
God, I fucking hate you.
No, I mean, you're not wrong, though, because at a certain point, it's like, how many different...
You hate us because you anus?
Anus?
Yeah.
It's like, how many different AEGs, gas blowbacks, can you buy before at the end of the day you're just going out there to play airsoft? It's
what
like,
I really actually hope happens is because all these, you know, out there kits are becoming things, like, I really hope we see more development in the way of guns that are not M4s and AKs.
I hope so. I'm still waiting on ASG to turn their Scorpion Evo into a SIG MPX because I fucking want one.
That would be cool.
Oh yeah, speaking of police too, you saw the like the British special units using MPXs.
Oh yeah,
the Brits, and then who were the other? Was it?
That was a CO-19.
There was like one other unit that was
Secret
running them
Service
too.
Also has those.
I think so.
Secret Service used a bunch of weird stuff.
They were for a while.
They were rocking P90s.
They're P90s on the fucking
700s and 7mm Remington Magnum.
Yeah. Some cool shit.
Maybe that's what we should do. Let's just do a Secret Service impression next.
So we'd have to play Get Down, Mr. President then. Where
that's
once
fine.
We take contact, everyone
we'll have Rich
on one
wear a suit and just do Save the President with Rich.
Oh, man. That's it. This is going to be the first. If we ever do a has-been airsoft game, that's the game.
Just to save the president?
Yeah, we'll be Rich's, like, fucking...
PSD.
We'll be
Secret
PSD,
Service.
Secret Service. And our fan, what fans we have.
Yeah,
we'll
have
the
black suit. Like, just let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm in. The P90 and the Lovis armor.
Yeah.
And the was it the Oakley or Bole ski goggles? I don't know if you saw the picture of that guy. It was like the wintertime 2 years ago. They were out, it was like in the middle of the snowstorm, and they still had to do their patrols and shit like that.
My God.
He was in like a North Face jacket, like ski gloves. And, like, the orange-tinted goggles and would just... The look of just, like, this fucking sucks on his face. And it was, like, on the front page.
Next Winter Game.
Yeah. It was, like,
I'm wearing dress pants and dress shoes, but I have a North Face and ski goggles
on. Let me see if I can find the picture.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And just every time we take fire, scream out, "Get down, Mr. President," and just dogpile on Rick.
Save the president!
Pretty much.
What handguns do they use besides, like, say...
I thought it was mostly Glocks.
I believe so.
I assume at the P90 era they would use 5.7s, but now they would use Glocks.
I think even in the P90 era, they used Glocks.
Yeah.
Because the P90 was, you know, that idea of defeating body armor.
Makes sense. Nickel-plated sissy pistol and get yourself a Glock.
That's right.
All right, and I think on that bombshell, we're done.
Oh, also, one quick final note. If you're doing an impression and everything else is legit, stop wearing fucking Nikes, because they didn't wear them.
Wait, no, but what? How else are you going to tell people to step up and get dunked on?
Oh, dude, your Air Jordan? So many times I see like this, all this legit stuff, multicam. It's just cool, 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 cool.
Jordan.
Adidas campuses from like 98.
Unless you're wearing a blue tracksuit and you are in behind enemy lines, that doesn't work.
They get all this cool stuff, they forget to buy...
Or like that one random Russian kit where they used like the Adidas clone sneakers.
Adidas. Well, there was that... there was the El Chapo raid where everyone was wearing tracksuits. And then there was the pictures of the SEALs... There again
with black Converse.
Well, black Converse is a black and white picture. It's like a Converse and a grease gun. It makes no sense. Well, but it's fucking like full AOR, awesome.
Which is blacked out Converse. The reason for that is because it was a training exercise on a ship. Yep. So like Converse actually get grip even if the ship deck's wet.
Yep.
That's why. But
good old rubber soles.
Yeah, there was a certain set of people that were just
methodology behind it.
Yeah. My favorite is SEALs and the fucking wife beaters and the hair standing up.
Oh, so these good. Guys. Yeah,
I mean, okay, so that's pretty much.
Let me see.
All right,
minus the play carrier, how I'm gonna rock Balcar?
That's fucking
with
dope.
The hair, with the bandana.
Okay, so the guy on the right, that is the owner of Half Face Blades, and he was also in 13 Hours. He was one of the two Delta guys. He was the shorter one that was like, oh, is that are you guys it? And he's like, yeah, we're it, brother. That's the guy from Half Face Blades. Brother. Wrong guy, because that guy's actually in shape.
I know. So, all right. Getting back to getting us done.
Yes.
I think we've kind of finished this topic tonight. as usual, check us out on social media. I'm HBA_Megalo. Jungle is HBA_Jungle.
Yes, sir.
We have, Has Been Airsoft _podcast?
Correctamundo.
We're Has Been Airsoft on SoundCloud. We're Has Been Airsoft on Podomatic. You can find us on any of like the sites that index podcasts, so like Overcast, iTunes, all that stuff. You know, we're always looking to move into others, so if anyone has any suggestions, like there's a platform you prefer to listen to podcasts on, let me know and I'll get us on it. I'll spend 4 hours making it work to make one person happy.
Yeah. On Facebook, we are Has Been Airsoft.
Yeah.
All right. And as we've said before, if you have any suggestions for what you want to hear us rant and rave about, please write in. We'll gladly talk about whatever you want us to for whatever reason, but you know, we're kind of here for you guys, so we'll keep doing it. But if you have any topics for us, feel free to throw it out. We'll give you a shout out at the end of the show if we pick your topic. So
I'll give a shout out right at the beginning.
Well, both, you know.
I'll shout you out whenever the fuck I feel like it.
Oh, yeah?
Fact.
All right.
And...